As I was contemplating about what to share today, just a few words came to me, and they were this: the path of the illumined. Today is a very different day for most of us, in that it's not a day of teaching. I believe the day of teaching is almost a thing of the past. Because today the Lord has a corporate body on this earth, and always had. We're just becoming more aware of the intimacy of God within us. And so there are people on the earth today who are becoming illuminated by the Spirit of God within them. That is the only thing, really, I believe that God is doing today. Because, you know, teaching has never really, well, I can't say teaching hasn't helped me, because I've listened to teachers all my life since I was saved. So I can't say they didn't help me, but teaching really will not change most people. The only thing that brings a substantial change in our lives is when God illuminates us by His Spirit within. And once we are illuminated by His Spirit, then everything we thought about God, everything we were taught about God, almost all of our knowledge we find was very far short of the reality. Those who are becoming awakened in these days, one of the first things we begin to realize is that God is nothing like we thought He was. You see, we thought that God was in a city somewhere on another planet, perhaps with golden streets, and that He was like a man sitting on a throne up there, and just, well, you know all the concepts. And that we were just human beings born in a corruptible, sinful life that was totally alienated from God. But if we began to have a drawing towards God, then we begin to have another concept of God, that not only is He someone up there on a throne somewhere that's kind of overseeing the earth, but we feel that if we can do enough, if we can pray enough, if we can fast enough, then somehow we can get God to do something for us, or perhaps for someone we're praying for. I believe that is the very first concept of God that begins to fall at our feet when we become motivated and illuminated by His Spirit. You know, even the theologians for thousands of years have basically told us what God is. They have the knowledge of the truth, but it has become so mixed with man's ideas of theology that it just left us in confusion. For instance, we know that God is omniscient. I took this out of the dictionary because I wanted to, you know, just read what omniscient means. Omniscient means having total knowledge, knowing everything, having all wisdom. Now, think of this. Here is God. We know that God knows everything. God is all wisdom. And yet here we are as mortal human beings, figure that evidently we have the concept that we had in the past that God is not really all-knowing. And so we're taught to pray as though our praying will motivate God to do something for us. In other words, I saw this years ago when George said this morning, he said they have experienced these things, but for 20 years the Lord wouldn't let them talk about it. Well, for 20 years or more, I have known a lot of these things and been able to walk in them, but not been able to talk about it. But this is the day. This is the day that's unlike any other day that we've lived in. And we somehow, well, only by revelation, by the light of God, are we going to change our concepts about God? And until those concepts change that we've been taught about God, we will never come into a rest. You know what it means to rest? It means to do absolutely nothing. If we know that God is all wisdom, then how could my telling Him that I have a problem make any sense? If God has all knowledge, how does it make sense for me to say, God, I have a cancer? God is also an omnipotent. And omnipotent means having unlimited or universal power, authority, or force. God is omnipotent, all power. God is omnipresent. Omnipresent simply means He's present everywhere at the same time. There is no place where God is not. In fact, David said that if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. And so if He is there, hell just turned into heaven. So there cannot be that place of torture that we've been taught. God is all that there is. You know, I've talked a lot about the two seeds. In fact, those of you who just are on the tape of the month, I just sent out that tape last month I called Further Talks on the Two Seeds. Because the problem with us is that we have been convinced that we have two natures. And you know by experience that whatever you believe, whether it's a reality or not, it'll be true for you. So I would not say that what you experience is not true, but there's a higher truth. In other words, if you feel like you're a human being that is separated and alienated from God, at least to an extent. By the way, the path of the illumined, it is not like that one day you're in darkness and the next moment, for instance, you're in total bright light of God's Son. I believe there are many degrees of illumination. And the first degree of illumination is regeneration. And if we could be taught, as I've said thousands of times before, if we could be taught from the very moment of regeneration that we have need of no one outside of us to guide us. But yet, because we still feel, even after regeneration, it takes years to even sometimes to have enough boldness to even consider that you might be God on this earth. But yet, if you never come to that realization, you'll always be one who is separated and alienated from God, at least to a degree, trying to, by works or by prayer, by Bible reading, by fasting, you'll be doing whatever you can do to try to make yourself into what you project a Christian or a godly person should be. Where when you become illuminated by His Spirit, you realize there is not one thing that you need to add to yourself to make yourself anything other than what you already are. So the path of the illumined is not trying to make yourself into anything. It's simply having the light of God dawn within your consciousness to let you realize that God as the omnipotent one, God as the all-powerful one, God as the omnipresent one, absolutely fills you, and not only you, but God fills everything everywhere with Himself. And there is not one thing you need to add to you to make yourself more acceptable to God. Someone who is walking in a degree of illumination, when you realize, and the scriptures are so full of telling us the reality of our being. I mean, I don't know how these people miss it, because it's absolutely, really, from Genesis to Revelation. But especially the New Testament is so revealing to us that we are God on this earth. Now, the reason we have a hard time with that is because we still have the picture of an individual God that's sitting on the throne somewhere that created the heavens and the earth. But you see, God is all there is. And that's why this is a corporate body, and you will never be a God within yourself, because we are a corporate man on this earth. And it takes all of the parts, and it takes all of humanity really to have and display and manifest the fullness of God. But you can see that in every man right now. If you have the eyes of the Spirit. They may not all be manifesting it, but God is all there is in this universe that's real. But the problem again is in the tear, because we've had sown in our consciousness by our teachers, our leaders, even the governments of the world. Everyone teaches or believes that they are a human being rather than a spiritual being. If you know that God is all powerful, God is present everywhere at the same time, God has all wisdom and all knowledge, how could you give him advice? Now, I know how this sounds, because I have had to deal with these things for years in my mind. And some of these things are hard to say, because you know that when you say them, it's going to be misunderstood. Well, it's just not going to be understood sometimes. But if my wife or my aunt, or even if I, all of a sudden develop a cancer or something happens to me, and I understand God, how could I do anything except know that God is my source? God is my provider. God knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. And as you know, most of you know, I've shared that 2 or 3 years ago, you know, when I was diagnosed that I had a cancer, there was absolutely no fear at all within me. And Stacy and Pam Wood were at our house when I was told, and I told Stacy and Pam, I said, don't breathe a word of this to anybody. Just don't tell anybody. Because I just knew, well, I didn't know the outcome, but it really didn't make any difference. Can you imagine having a cancer and not caring what the outcome would be? But that's the kind of peace. That's the kind of contentment. How could you destroy that? I really know what Paul meant when he said, it doesn't matter if I live or I die. He was talking physically. It just doesn't matter when you know and have the fullness of the revelation of who God is. Not in the heavens, but within you. But we have so many religious concepts. I mean, a lot of people, if you'd come and live with me, you'd probably think I wasn't even saved sometimes. Because we really enjoy life. And we enjoy the things of the world. Some people would have an awful time with us because we're not at all religious. Nancy can tell you that. The path of the illumined, I'll tell you, there is nothing, and this is what God is bringing us all into, is to bring us into an understanding that there is absolutely nothing in this world that we need. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And there's going to come a day, very quickly, and I believe it's dawning within us, when this inward knowing, this inward reality that we walk in is going to be totally manifested outwardly. That's why I like Revelation, what is it, 10:7? It says, when the voice of the seventh angel begins to sound, the mystery of God will be complete. And we all know, if you do any Bible study at all, the mystery of God is simply God manifested in the flesh. And so when you begin to hear the voice of the seventh angel, and it's a corporate voice that's on the earth today that's beginning to sound these things, the mystery of God in you will be complete. Well, what is that? The unveiling, the revealing, the manifestation of God in the flesh. Yet there are so many. Literally, how many people go to church every Sunday and still think that they're sinners, that they're alienated from God, that they're separated from God? Oh, they know they're born again, some of them, and they know that, you know, they know that the blood of Jesus has washed them, but they still feel so unworthy. I can't remember. As God is my witness, I can't remember the last time I felt unworthy. Why is that? Well, I just know who God is. And I know that there is absolutely nothing that I can do to change my destiny. Because my destiny is to fully reveal and manifest God within me. That's my destiny, and I know that. And there's nothing I can do to change that, whether it's good or bad. That's my destiny. And I might, you know, get off the beaten path, or I might get upset with God, and hopefully not, but I used to. And I would say, God, it's too hard. Just leave me alone. This life is too hard. I can't do it. But we have a destiny, folks. And it's God's responsibility to bring us to that destiny. In fact, He's the only one who can do it. And where we get into trouble is thinking that, well, we've been a Christian for... I used to think this all the time. I've been a Christian for all these years, and I can't do anything yet. I'm still such a mess. But you know, all those years when I was still such a mess in my thinking anyway and in my manifestation, I never gave up on God, at least not for any great length of time, because God would always call me back, always pull me back. There was always something within me that wanted God. Now, folks, if you have that, there is nothing you can do to shut that voice up. You can't cover it up with drugs. You can't use nothing you can do to get away from the calling of God. You can make it awful miserable on yourself for a while by running, but you can't get away from it. And one day, the light of God begins to penetrate our being, and we realize that God is all-powerful. He has all knowledge. He has all the wisdom in the world. But then, you know, it's one thing to know that that's God, but then it's another thing to know that that's also who you are. There's two keys to this, and Paul covers both of them. And the truth of the thing is, in the two seeds, in the what I call the seed of the serpent, it's the human nature. And the seed of Christ is the true nature, is the spiritual being that you are. Well, you see, the seed of the serpent is really a lie that's been sown in our mentality, but because we believe it, we manifest what we believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, until we have a change in our heart and in a change in the way we think, and we can't make that change ourselves. You see, if you believe that God is this person sitting on a throne who is angry at you when you sin, who cannot wait till the day comes where He can hold His church up in the air and punish everybody on the earth and pour out horrible judgments on them, as long as you have that kind of a God in your concept, you will never experience peace and rest. Because you'll never be assured in that consciousness that you won't be one of those that'll be left here. God has no wrath to pour out on anybody in the sense that we've been taught. You can even look the word wrath up in the Strong's Concordance. And you'll find out that God's wrath is His hot pursuit to judge you in the sense of making everything in your being wrong that's right. And the only thing really that's wrong with us is right between our ears. Because if you think wrong, you speak wrong, you believe wrong, and you reap what you sow. Jesus said some very interesting but very simple things that will change your life if you let them, if you work with it. And one of them is this. He said what? Take no thought. When you begin to have the illumination of the Spirit of God within you and realize that God within you is the all-sufficient one, that's the only way you could rest. If God in you, as the Scriptures teach us, that we are His body on this earth, that the fullness of God dwells within us, and God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-wisdom within us, how could you have any need? How could we, if we had the fullness of this revelation, how could we be sick? That's why I say the illumination of God is in degrees. In fact, Peter says it this way. Peter said, take heed unto the word, until the day on and the day star arise in your heart. Well, that's what's happening to us. The day star is beginning to arise within us. And the more the day star, the more Christ within arises in our consciousness, the more light, the more revelation, the more experience we have of God. And when that comes into full fruition, there will be nothing within us that is not according to God and His plan. That's what we have to look forward to. That the mystery of God, when it's fulfilled, I like what Floyd Watson says. He says, you know, when you pop popcorn, you have the hard shell. But when you put it in the grease and you pop it, the inside becomes the outside. Well, when you begin to have the illumination of God, you just, not only do you know all of these things, but at least to a degree we begin to experience and walk in these things. And for instance, in my own experience, back when I was a young Christian and just beginning to walk with God, I was a very, very sickly person. I used to spend every year, at least a couple times a year, in the hospital. I would, when I got the flu, I would almost die with the flu. And I was taking insulin, so I was considered a heavy diabetic, and I spent a lot of time in the hospital just with that condition. But the more I began to have the understanding that I try to share with people, the less the physical ailments bother me. Until one day that inside is just like the popcorn is going to pop, and the inside will become the outside. That's the experience that Paul talks about, that his glorious body will swallow up this body. And we're walking into it. And it's going to seem like a flash in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But it has been a long process. It doesn't have to be a long process. And I don't like the word process. You see, that's another thing that Christians have been taught that is so wrong. For instance, George, many would say to you that God gave you a stroke because you needed to learn something from that stroke. Now, I guarantee you that you did learn something from that stroke. But I'm here to tell you that we don't have a God in the heavens that will put something on you like that, a cancer or a stroke, because you need to be processed into the kingdom. And we have hundreds of people that believe, and teachers that are believing people, that we have a God that if you get out, you know, that he'll put anything on you. He'll put a cancer on you, or he'll give you a crippled babies, or you see, all of those things are a result of the tear, not of the seed, but of the tear. It's the human consciousness. It's the tear that reaps and sows this kind of a life. It has nothing to do with God. If a cancer brought me closer to God, or if a crippled child brought me closer to God, I mean, if that's the way God wanted to do it, why did not Jesus, to bless people, why didn't he put something on them instead of healing them? And I know that to the natural mind, it's a scary thing when you say, well, you don't ever need to pray again. I didn't say you never need to pray again. I say that the path of the illumined begins to realize that there is nothing that they need to ask God for. In fact, there's even an Old Testament scripture that says this, before I ask, he will answer. Well, that's what we're walking in today. Because he knows what we need. And so there is no need to ask when you have the revelation that God is bringing to his people today, there is no need to ask for anything. I guarantee you, if you don't have it, you don't need it. There might be a lot of things that we want, but we have everything we need. And if you realize this, you know how much time you can save? I know you don't have any idea how much time I wasted praying to God. Now, doesn't that sound terrible to me to say that? I wasted years praying for God to do something, and I was good too. I fasted, and I prayed, and I read my Bible every day, thinking that that was going to influence God to do something that I thought he should do. Do you know if that kind of prayer really worked? I tell you, folks, there ain't no God like that. If that kind of prayer really worked, do you know how many prayers have been said in the past 2,000 years for the peace of Jerusalem? There is no God to answer prayer like that. And I realize there's a scripture that says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But I tell you what, that kind of a God don't exist that's going to answer your desires and do what you think is right, because He knows the end from the beginning. And He knows the situation that you're in and what it's going to do for you. Now, as I say, God doesn't put a cancer on you, but if you find something like that in your being, I guarantee you that God, you will learn something from it. If nothing else, you'll learn it's nothing to be fearful of. It's just unbelievable what God will do when you don't do anything. It's unbelievable. But Carol and I have learned. Where'd Carol go? She must be getting something ready in the house. But she could tell you, Carol probably had spent some time wondering about me for a while, because Carol has never heard me pray and ask God for anything, even from the day we were married, because I've walked this way for better than 20 years. And so I would never get together with Carol like you're supposed to do and pray together. It just doesn't, you know, it's hard. It just doesn't compute. But you know what? If you know, and if you really know the richness of what is in you, you don't have to pray for people. You know why? Because the very fact that you carry that presence will be a healing. The very fact that you're one who lives with that kind of a experiential knowledge, I don't need to pray for you. The very fact that we come together is a healing. And I know that. And there is a place. There will always be a place. There will always be, well, like a brother was sharing this morning, if God speaks to me and He says, go pray for that person in the wheelchair, it's not me praying for them, it's me releasing the Christ within me, and that will pull them out of the wheelchair. You see, you never heard, Jesus is our example, you never heard Him ask His Father for anything. He just released what was in Him. And see, we haven't even been taught that we have that. In fact, our experience is the opposite, that when we get in trouble, we ask God to help us. Or if our neighbor gets sick, or our wife, or our husband, or whatever it is, all we know to do is pray and ask God to do something. Can you imagine, most of you here, if you have computers, you know how big our website is. There are over 10,000 articles a day downloaded from our website. There are literally thousands of people all over the world who hit our... But do you know how many prayers I get every day? Prayer requests I get every day? Can you imagine? You know, sometimes I just have to cry, because 2,000 years and people still don't have enough confidence with the God within them. They have to go to somebody else. And I understand that, and I would not condemn them for that. But, you know, God's people need to be taught the richness of His presence within them. You see, we're not here to tell God how to run the world. God is not an individual man on a throne up in the sky. I'm sorry, but that concept ain't going to fly these days. God is in His people. God is not complete without His people. Man was put on this earth to take dominion and rule over this earth. And I'm not talking about the old name it and claim it doctrine. But that's why we're here. So if God is omnipotent, omniscient, and if God is all of the things that even the theologians say He is, there is nothing to be concerned about. And as I mentioned earlier, do you know the thing that gives us the most trouble in the whole world? If you would learn, and I would learn, to take no thought, you cannot even imagine, unless you live there, how much peace you have. What causes you the grief? When you think about the problem. Let's say today you were diagnosed with cancer. What if you never gave that a thought? What if you shoved it out of your mind and said, Lord, whether I live or whether I die... It's the thinking about it that causes all the grief. It's the thinking about it that brings the fear on you about how you're going to die. And you know what that does? it simply increases that problem in your life. If you give it no thought, and I'm not saying it's easy, but it can be done, and it is done. What gives the problem, why do we have such a big problem today in marriage, even among, you know, Christian, sonship, king, why are there so much problems in marriage? Because we take thought. If you didn't take thought about what you thought your wife should be, you see, if you kill all of those thoughts about what I think or what I want my husband or wife to be, supposing you didn't think that way, wouldn't you be more peaceful? Wouldn't it be easier to just say, well, God, this is your world. My husband belongs to you. I know the seed of his life is... It's God's business to awaken that seed. But see, again, we're living in this mistaken identity, and in that identity, no matter how good you are, no matter how much you go to church, no matter how much you pray, living in an identity that is not as God on this earth, you want what you want. And you're going to get what you want, one way or another. And so if your wife or your husband is not satisfying you, you're going to go get another one. And in some cases, that's good. So I'm not saying you would never do that. That's not very religious, is it? The illumination that God is bringing to us today. And like I say, I'm not trying to teach you this because you probably already are aware, at least to some degree, of what I'm saying. But there is nothing that can rob your peace if you practice just a few things that Jesus said. And another thing I use a lot for Christians who are so devastated over their what they consider their horrible condition is that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. That is so simple. And if you really believed it, you wouldn't try to finish it yourself. And so the question comes up, well, if I shouldn't try to do it myself, do I just go live any way I want to? I say, sure. You're going to do it anyway. I mean, you might restrain the flesh some, but if it's too strong for you, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. The only hope for you is to realize that God is the author and the finisher of your faith. And then let Him deal with you. I don't know how many times I've said to God, God, this is your business. I can't handle this. I give you permission to do anything in me that you need to do. It's so easy. It's the simplest thing in the world is to take no thought. And another thing is to quit pointing the finger at anybody. You cannot be a representative in reality. You cannot be a manifestation of God on this earth as long as you are willing to point the finger at anybody for anything. Because it is your job to be a reconciler. It is our job to look past the flesh, not agree with, I'm not saying don't agree with everything everybody's doing, but just don't consider it. Don't take no thought. But minister as though you were ministering to Jesus. You minister to people and know that the seed of God is in every man. You know, if some of you haven't read it yet, Preston Eby just released a new book called The Seed in Every Man. We all know that, well, it's even hard for our minds to grasp this, but what was there before anything? We know there was nothing but God. God created everything out of the substance of who He is. And I'm so glad today for science, because even science now is really preaching the gospel. And science is not far from God like they used to be. But science will tell you that all things are made up of energy. Everything. And energy that is slowed down becomes matter. And so, people like Christian Science, you've probably all heard about Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science. They were so misunderstood in their day, and I'm not saying that everything that they taught was okay, but they picked up a real truth. And they said that God was not personal, He was impersonal. And because we're taught in Christianity about, oh, you have to have a personal relationship, well, that's true. But what they were saying by saying God is impersonal, what they were really saying is this. Electricity is impersonal. It's there and it's available for everyone. But it's impersonal. It don't pick out certain people and other. You have to see, words are kind of inadequate, but you have to use the electricity. The electricity is there for everybody, but until it's harnessed and focused in the right direction, it's not going to do you any good. And I used to tell people years ago, and I think I had probably recently, that God is like electricity. That if you go over there and touch a bare wire, that electricity is going to get in you. And God is no different. God is divine energy. And the moment that your spirit and God, the moment your spirit touches God, that divine energy infiltrates your system. And you cannot spend time with God and not have that divine energy in you begin to flow. And the more that divine energy flows in you, the more then comes the illumination, the enlightenment, the understanding, the proper knowledge of God. And like I said, one of the first things that we begin to drop is this concept of God that we've been taught. And we think that we have to tell him what to do because he don't know. And you may not believe it, but that is what you do. When you pray and ask God to do something, what you're really saying is, God, you don't know, but this is, you need to do something. I don't know. I'm probably not making this clear enough, but it's so easy. When you know that God is all-knowing, he's all-wisdom, he's all-power, and you just need to rest in that. And when you're in that kind of an atmosphere and you do have a wife or an uncle or you have somebody that, you know, you really need help, you can go to them, and because of your awareness and your knowledge of God, you will bless them without saying a word. And you can still pray for them. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm just saying our whole concept about God needs to be changed. It really does. We need to know that he is all-powerful. He has all wisdom and all knowledge, and he does not need our help to tell him what he needs to do. What he does need is for us to begin to rest in his ability within us. People get so hung up on, for instance, you know, today they're saying, well, we know that when the sons of God are manifested, that we'll go in and empty hospitals and, you know, we'll heal everybody. You know, that's a very carnal concept. You may do that, but you would only do that as if that desire or that speaking comes up within you. Because, see, that's what a son of God does, what Jesus said, I only do what I hear my Father do and say. So a son of God, even knowing he is a son of God, is not going to go out in empty hospitals. In fact, you may be brought into a building in a wheelchair and that person may not even pray for you. But if he does, you're coming out. And that's how simple a life that Jesus lived. One more point, and I say this all the time. Jesus, being the finest example of a human that ever lived, would stand and say, I can do nothing. Now folks, if he couldn't do anything, why are we trying? We still try to do something. He said, I of my own self can do nothing. Paul said in Romans 7 that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. Well, that's the wrong mindset. See, as long as you feel that law, we know the law is spiritual, but as long as you're carnal, you're sold under the law of sin and death. But the moment the illumination hits your mind and you realize that you are spiritual, the law is spiritual and you are spiritual, you no longer try to fulfill the law, it becomes who you are. It flows from the very depths of your being. You cannot dislike anybody if you try. Because the love becomes so manifest within you. And you know the heart of God towards all humanity, there is no way that you can dislike somebody even if they're mean to you. Because you understand why they're being mean to you. So I'm really looking forward to this year. There's more and more understanding coming to us in these days. And I'm excited because I find that today I can go almost anywhere that I go and share this, and I don't get rocks thrown at me. I get puzzled looks sometimes, but people want to hear today. They want to hear the truth. They realize that for 2,000 years they've done all of the stuff that the church tells them to do, and it doesn't do any good. And I'll say again, if we have a God like we've been taught, and there's been just one example of Jerusalem, there's been people praying for 2,000 years for the peace of Jerusalem, and it hasn't happened. We don't have that kind of a God. He's not someone up there that you can direct. And the only way that we're going to change the world, and we are, is by being who we are. It's by having the realization that we are who He is. That I of mine own self can do nothing. So if somebody comes in a wheelchair and you look at them and you fear, why are you fearing? Because you think they may ask you to pray for them and you know you can't heal them. But you know what? If you really know that you can't do anything, there's no fear in that, because then you know God can do anything. So Paul said in Romans 7, it is not me, but it's sin. That's the human consciousness. But then in what? Philippians 2:20? Galatians. He said, it's no longer I but Christ. So he had changed identities. He knew that now it wasn't him, but it was Christ. Romans 7, it is not I, but it's sin. This is something to think about. There is no personal I at all. It doesn't exist. There are two corporate, well, I'll say manifestations, because in reality, there is only one on this earth. But because of the seed of the serpent that's been sown in our mentality, and we believe in duality, that's what we experience. But thank God for the light that's penetrating our minds. And there is such a glorious, wonderful people that are being raised on the earth today. Everywhere we go, people are coming into this understanding and dropping the old religious concepts, and they're realizing that God is for everybody. God is for the Baptist. God is for the Buddhist. I was so surprised. I went into a Buddhist temple one time, George, and Joanna was with me, my sister. We walked into this place, and I'm telling you, the presence of God was so thick. And it confused me. But, you know, I realize now that God is everywhere. You see, God is not mad at you if you don't understand the Christian faith. God only knows one thing, and that's the heart. And so, all of us have been in religion, whether it be Christian or the different phases of Christianity, whether it's Baptist or Lutheran or Pentecost, all of us have been in religion. And I know that the Pentecostal thinks that God doesn't talk to the Baptist, but we know better. And of course, the Baptists don't think that God talks to the Pentecostal. They think that the Pentecostals talk to the devil. But see, those kind of concepts that we've had of God, my goodness, just a little bit of illumination in your mind. And that's why it's hard for me to understand the opposition that we get in these days for this message, because God loves everybody. You know, I'm not for any religion. I'm not for the Christian religion or the Buddhist religion or the Hindu religion. But you know what? When I was there, God talked to me. And God, no matter where you're at, if your heart is for God, you're okay. And God will lead you out of and into wherever you need to go. And so the life is so simple. The path of the illumined is such a simple, peaceful, restful life. And one of the easiest ways to get there is to not take thought, to live in the present moment. A lot of people worry about the future, but you know what your future is? Your future is the present moment. Because what you're doing right now in this present moment determines what you'll be in the future. So if you don't, there's nothing to worry about. You might pay attention to what kind of seeds you're sowing in the present, but whatever you're doing right now in the present will determine your future. The present, the future is just an extension of the present moment. There is no such thing as past or present, or past or future. It's all right now. And so there's absolutely nothing for us to be concerned about. We just love God and we serve one another and minister to one another and have a good time and let God do what God wants to do. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.